Last time on Why Can't We Be Wizards?
Brad, you and Joe took me in and you guys deserve better and I will totally change my act. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, I suddenly remember that I put that weird book in there.
I don't think I can go home with you tonight. I just realize it's that thing.
Well, I think I've already gotten two of them angry with each other. Maybe three. I have a job. And you know I have a job, and I need you to do this for me, okay? I'm not the one that's causing the world to end.
It's the holidays! Break!
She doesn't like to listen to anybody, but maybe if she'll listen to anybody, it's me. Maybe you're right. I'll talk to her.
Do we find anything about Leo's book?
But you see a title at the top. And it appears that this book is talking about Elden magic. You have a single thought, which is just, did Hagrid buy me this broom? Anybody tell me, did anyone level up? And do we have any relationship changes to go over?
Freya leveled up. Freya is actually going to unlock the positive trait, methodical. I think she's been really distracted by everything that's been going on with like her friend group and with her family. And so that's kind of making her less concerned about the little things that she used to pay a lot of attention to. Can I take a -2 with Leo? So that puts Leo at a -1 with Freya.
Dang. You guys hate each other now, huh?
Are we still friends?
No, you're not.
I don't know.
I know. I'm having trouble divorcing myself from Leo's outlook on friendship because Leo doesn't care about Mike cares.
Mike, we're married. It's fine.
I know. When my character was fighting Lauren, I was concerned and I had to tell Lauren how much I actually loved her.
I've got a relationship I want to change. Right now, I have Professor Pritchard at -1 and I have Professor Fessel at 0. And I'd like to reverse those.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Are most of Caleb's relationships with NPCs
bad?
Almost exclusively.
Yes.
No, he has +1 with the two other chasers.
And
no,
Danica.
I'm saying most of them are NPCs and not us. The opposite of what we were supposed to do.
And with Dakota.
It's fine, you guys don't play by the rules.
And you have one with Marcus.
I want to note, Kevin, that Caleb is also going to send a volume 1 and volume 2 of the starter spell books that he writes for Christmas to Dakota.
Oh, that's nice. Really nice.
Oh, yeah. You want to know Skylar's gift for Dakota?
Sure.
It's a cape.
What's on the cape? That's what kind of cape good. Is it? What are we talking?
Okay, well, it's Quidditch themed in hopes that maybe he'll see how cool it looks on him and maybe he'll wear it. But like, even if he doesn't wear it at Quidditch, he might just wear it for fun on campus. I have a matching one.
I'm imagining like we cut to Dakota opening up presents Christmas morning and getting to your box, being really excited, and then the smile slowly fading to a very neutral face as he picks up this cape and is just like, yeah, that's about right. Snow is very slowly coming down on the window just outside of Caleb's dorm room as he sits on his bed with a brand new broomstick sitting in his lap. So Caleb, what's going on? What are you going to do?
Well, this is pretty concerning because I don't know who the broomstick came from. I think it's going to concern Caleb so much that he's going to not open any other gifts and just go down to the common room and pace back and forth, waiting for Freya to get up.
So...
2 hours later.
Slept in. She 100% slept in. She enjoys her sleep. And comes down around like 11, 11:30 a.m.
Caleb probably has been down to the Great Hall for food. He's going to bring back a bunch of food and just be nervously reading in the Great Hall.
What's he reading?
He's probably... reading, do we have that book still? The one about the dark Leo magic?
You mean Leo's secret book?
I mean, we definitely would have taken
the book about the book
from the library.
The book about the book, yes.
So I guess Freya gets up and goes downstairs and sees Caleb. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Freya?
Yeah?
Something weird has happened. You didn't, buy me a broom or anything, did you?
What? No, I got you a sneaker scope. Sneak-a-scope. Sneak-a-scope.
A sneaker scope is so much better.
Sneak-a-scope. You didn't see my name on that package for you?
I haven't opened most of my gifts. Like I said, a broom, but there was no one who sent it. I don't know. I'm thinking I might have to go to the professor's.
Oh, doesn't
sound great.
I'm sure it's fine, right? Like, who would send you something? Who would send a broom that's cursed?
Yeah, who would want to kill Caleb?
Caleb is going to look real serious as you say this and just says, Doug.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot about him. Let me take a look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, would you come? Yeah. I don't feel safe alone with this thing.
Sure.
So yeah, Caleb's going to take Freya up the tower stairs and show the broom.
Freya like looks it over and like picks it up. It looks fine. Why don't I try riding it?
Okay. Caleb takes out his wand. Be ready with a resto momentum if that thing does anything crazy.
I mean, I'm not the best flyer, so things might go wrong anyway. But let's try this. And Freya is going to mount the broom and kick off.
Okay, roll Quidditch magic.
Is that body?
I think that it's its own thing.
I think, yeah, did we decide that it's magic?
We should just actively start. No, it's not magic. It's its own. It's its own thing. Extra thing. And I'm going to say that for the purpose of this scenario, Freya has a -1 in Quidditch magic.
Okay, because I rolled a 10, so that's a 10 minus 1. So
ah,
nine.
Okay, yeah, so mixed success. I think...
this sounds about right.
You try to kick off, and nothing happens. And then you're like, kick off again, and nothing happens. And then in frustration, you hit your foot against the floor like 3 more times, and then you surprise yourself... and launch into the air a little bit higher. So your head is like almost hits the ceiling and you have to like duck down.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not good at this.
You're doing great, though. That was much better than how I flew when I flew into the ceiling at the last party.
It's not doing anything, right? Like,
yeah, it does seem okay.
Didn't catch fire. I'm sure it's fine, Caleb. And I try and get down. Can I, like, float down? Do I struggle with that?
What do you do to try to float down?
No.
I want Freya to explain to me what are the mechanics of making a broom go back to the ground.
I don't think she knows.
Okay, then roll Quidditch magic.
You hold down shift.
Oh, no. You hold down shift. Oh, no. I rolled a 5.
Ooh.
-1.
Can I arresto momentum this situation?
So Freya, you just kind of lean your weight forward and then fall like feet first towards the ground.
Oh, gosh.
Arresto momentum.
Okay, roll magic.
That is a 6 plus 2 for magic. And arresto momentum is one of my spells, so it's a 9 total.
Okay, so mixed success. The spell succeeds, but there are side effects. So choose two.
Someone notices the casting, and my wand is thrown from my hand.
As you cast the spell, Freya, you stop 2 inches from the ground. Your nose is right on the floor, like right basically grazing the floor. Caleb, your wand flies from your hand, arcs high in the air, and lands on your bed, where it promptly bumps the nose of your cat, Spectre, who screeches in anger and rushes out of the room.
Oh, no, Spectre, I didn't... Oh. Oh, man, I'm going to get some claws later on. Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for that.
Well, thanks for trying out the broom. It doesn't seem any more dangerous than a regular broom.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah.
Gosh, this is why I don't play Quidditch.
Well, why did you already open your gifts?
Some of them, not all of them.
Oh, well, I mean, last year, Skylar and I did this thing where we went back and forth and opened gifts, but...
Oh, we can do that with the rest of the ones that I have.
Yeah, great. I'll meet you down in the common room.
Yeah, okay.
And that's how we spend the holiday, talking
opening
and chatting.
Presents.
Montage of present opening. Friends. Wrapping paper
montage.
Everywhere.
Our famous
I
montages.
Got Leo nothing.
That tracks.
So, do we see the Gryffindors at all while we're staying at the castle?
Do any of them stay?
All four of them are at the castle, yes.
Including
four
Marcus.
Four against two. We
yeah,
would
including
lose that
Marcus.
Fight. Unless Marcus switched sides.
Polychus potion. Knock Marcus out.
Oh, we should steal their hair and do a Polyjuice potion of them, break into the Gryffindor common
oh
room
God.
And find out what they've been up to.
But Polyjuice potion takes so long.
It does. It's too late.
So I've been, and if this is not allowed, Kevin, please just like let me know. I've been thinking about items that Freya would be trying, like magical items that Freya would be trying to like develop. And one of which is a piece of paper that reads the mind of the person who's touching it. And so you touch a piece of paper and then whatever you're thinking is like written on the piece of paper.
Ooh, like, it's like a mood ring.
Kind of. Like, I don't think Freya's perfected it yet. So it probably isn't very specific. Maybe right now she's gotten it to be like a mood ring and say what base emotion someone's having. Is that too OP?
We need a lie detector test. We'll just hook them up to a lie detector test and grill them.
That feels like a pretty advanced piece of magic.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was saying maybe she hasn't perfected it and it's just like basic emotion.
Yeah, I'm going to say you can make this thing exist, but you're going to have to roll magic every time.
Okay. Like I have to enchant the piece of paper before I use it.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's fine. Like we can flashback to say you did it before, but that also means that maybe you don't know that it's worked.
That's fair. So I bring a piece of paper up to Caleb and I go, so I've been thinking those four Gryffindors are still here and I've been working on this spell that if I do it correctly and they touch this piece of paper, it'll tell us kind of what they're thinking. Right now I only have it so that it tells us what their emotion is.
Oh.
But we've been trying to figure out what these Gryffindors are up to, and I think maybe this could be useful.
Oh man, I really kind of want to know what Marcus is feeling. Is he like happy? Or is it terrible for him?
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to somehow get him to touch the piece of paper without realizing it. I'm not really sure how to do that.
Maybe we just drop it near him.
And hope he picks it up?
Yeah, like a good citizen.
Okay, I mean, it's worth a try.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll hide around a corner and drop it Well, I guess we have to know where they are. So first, let's track them down and figure out where they are.
I think we should try the Great Hall.
Allison, how's your Christmas morning going?
It's going pretty great. I think Allison is pretty excited for Christmas. Didn't sleep too much last night. Is up super early. And is in the kitchen making bacon for everyone else.
You're by yourself in the kitchen?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know if my dads are up yet.
Yeah, cool. So you've got this pan out and you're holding this package of bacon. At that moment, Joe walks into the kitchen. Oh, great. You found it.
Yeah, I found the bacon.
You mean the bacon?
What? This isn't real bacon?
Yeah, when you look down at the package, it clearly says bacon.
Allison is...
It's even got like I-N and then the apostrophe.
Dad, why didn't you buy real bacon?
Because meat is murder. We've talked about this.
Yeah, but bacon is delicious. Why can't you just buy ethical bacon?
Well, let me ask you a question, Allison. If someone was to kill you and cut you up in little pieces and cook you, would that make you feel good?
No.
Okay, so then we're having the bacon. And he grabs the package and starts cooking fake bacon.
By this point, would the magical community have figured out the equivalent of lab-grown meat, like magically conjured meat?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's probably true. But Joe does all the shopping, so they eat muggle food.
Yes. So it's just muggle fake bacon that's terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which, to be fair, has improved significantly in the last decade.
Sure,
but
it's not the
same. It's not good. It's not the same.
Allison's just going to grumble and like sit down at the counter and watch.
Brad walks in and he kisses you on the forehead and then walks over, sniffs the frying pan, kind of like scowls a little bit before sitting down at the table next to you.
So you're not on board with this fake bacon thing? I say like kind of in a whisper.
No, it's great. It's the best food that I've ever had. It's so good.
What a supporting husband.
Alrighty, that's cool. Yeah, I guess I'll come to like it then.
That's very supportive of you, yes. The words came out so easily in this moment.
Allison is just like gives her dad a little smile at that as they sit at the table bonding over this distrust of fake bacon.
So I think at that moment, a bleary-eyed Skylar stumbles into the kitchen half awake.
Hello, father. I kiss Joe on the cheek. Hello, daddy-o. I give Brad a hug from behind. I'm assuming he's sitting.
Yeah, he is.
Good morning, Allison. I sit down next to Allison. It's morning.
That it is. Joe says as he piles the fake bacon onto plates in front of all of you.
Allison takes like a little nibble of a corner of fake bacon.
Oh, I'll try it. I'll try anything.
Yeah, comically at that exact same time, Brad picks up a similarly sized piece and at the exact same time also takes a tiny little nibble, grimaces, and then puts it down and says, so good. And rubs his tummy and then pushes the plate away.
I'm going to look over at my wizard dad who's sitting next to me and be like, yeah, dad, transfigure it. And like kind of egg him on.
And his eyes are wide as he looks at you and it's shaking his head vigorously. Just as Joe turns back around, pulling his apron off and sitting down at the table. So how is the semester going?
Yeah, things went pretty good. They trapped us inside of a picture frame, inside of a parallel dimension, and
that's right. Daddy-o, do you remember that one from school?
Revelio, what do you know?
Desidero. It points your thoughts perspective in the right direction.
Well, that sounds very important. He's also like really trying to eat another piece of bacon and is having a lot of trouble. He's very distracted by it. And at this, Joe looks at Skylar and he says, "Now, Skylar, I can't help but notice you've still got a little bit of a, what is that on your eye? Did you get hurt?"
Oh, yeah. Quidditch is a hardcore sport
that you shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, Allison is worried that I'm playing the sport. I love playing it, but at the same time, it is pretty rough and tumble.
Oh, how was the first match of the year?
Oh my gosh, it went so well. I like, thank you so much for the Meteorus 99. It like flies so well, man. Caleb is on one of the school brooms, and you know, he would be so much better if he had a better broom. So like, thank you so much. You've really given me an advantage.
That's usually what we're going for. Advantages over other children in sports games. So
I also kind of snickers at that. Yeah, and, there's a whole budget for that. Shoves a piece of bacon in her mouth. Yeah, sports ball. I mean, let's like recount your injuries though of that night, because I'm pretty sure you got a concussion and like you got something up with your eye.
Yeah, but luckily the school has a really good hospital wing. Madame Pomfrey can fix everything that happens to me, so I won't have long-term effects from any of the concussions.
Joe looks at you very doubtfully and says, "Now, Skylar, you know that I don't ever tell you what to do, but I don't want you to die."
Oh, no, I don't think anyone's died in Quidditch for maybe like over 100 years.
Brad shakes his head.
It's relatively safe. I mean, there are bludgers. They're trying to like knock you off the broom, and you're really high up in the air. But I'm so good now with my Meteorus 99. I'm fine.
Joe turns to Allison and he whispers, "I thought I told you to make sure that they stay safe this year."
"Yeah, but Dad, did you notice that you sent them very specifically a flying death trap?"
"And did you notice that Brad and I are very mad at each other about that?"
"Did you notice?
My dad's gonna get divorced because of me."
"No!
Oh, no! It's not my fault. Skylar makes their own decisions. I got nothing to do with this. Don't put it on me."
I know that I got, you know, some people in trouble last year, and that you guys really made it clear that I shouldn't put anyone in danger. But this is just me. I'm not putting anyone else in danger. I'm playing a sport, and it's just me. And it's a calculated risk, and it's a legit sport at Hogwarts. So I think that you'd be less worried about it if you were maybe more knowledgeable about what that sport actually entails, maybe.
I'm pretty sure that you just defended football.
Allison is going to smile really big and look over between both of her dads and is like, "Yeah, why don't you come to our next match?"
My eyes widen to that.
Brad puts his hand on Joe's shoulder and then picks up another piece of the fake bacon and willingly puts it in his mouth and chews on it. "Yes, well, we talked about this and we both agreed," he turns back to Joe, "we both agreed that you can make your own decisions. So if you want to keep playing Quidditch, we're not going to stop you. Right, Joe?" And Joe crosses his arms. "Yes, yes, Skylar, you can do what you think makes most sense for you."
"Yeah, but I also really value your opinion because I know that you have my best interest. Now I'm feeling conflicted."
"I am just a little worried about you, and I want to make sure that you stay safe. So if you can promise me you're going to be careful and stay safe, you can keep playing Quidditch."
"Oh, yeah. I would never put myself in danger in Quidditch. I'm always trying not to get hit by the bludgers. Yeah, I promise."
"I mean, I guess in theory, that's why you got those beaters to, you know, make sure they kind of swoop in with their little bats and hit the flying death balls away from you.
Leo.
Yes.
We come in on you in your family living room. You and your dad are sitting in the living room drinking cocoa. And mm-hmm. your dad is leaning back in a recliner and he looks a little tired, but he looks over to you. So, Leo, how's school?
Oh, it's great. I've been doing well, you know. Getting good marks, doing good magic stuff.
That sounds really believable.
Yeah. Nothing strange happening at all.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, just the normal strange things. I mean, Hogwarts is a pretty strange place, but like nothing stranger than normal.
Well, as long as you're focusing on your studies.
Yeah, focusing.
Okay. I don't know. All right. Anyway, yeah, so can I ask you something? And he looks around to make sure your mother is not around.
Yeah, sure.
What's going on with your sister?
Oh. Well, I think she met this boy. His name's Michael. And they've been spending a lot of time together, and I don't know if it's going well or if it's good for her, but I haven't really thought it's my place to say anything. Yeah, boy trouble, I think.
I'm just a little worried. She hasn't really come out of her room since you two got home, and she doesn't really seem to want to open up to me. I'm sure your mother would really appreciate it if she'd come and join us for Christmas tea this afternoon. Do you think you could go talk to her and try to get her to come out of her room?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go try talking to her.
Great. Thanks, Leo. You're, like I said, your mother is really going to appreciate it. She's very upset. And as he turns, you see your mom frantically dusting in the other room.
Hi, Mom. Doing great over there.
Oh, hello, dear. Hello.
Haven't you dusted that one spot already?
Oh, but there's still dust here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Got some allergies in the family. Can't be more careful.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. Yeah. After a weird, awkward silence with his mother, Leo turns and heads upstairs.
And so you head upstairs. Your sister's room is at the end of the hall.
Hey, Ella, are you in there?
There's no response.
I knock again a little louder.
Go away, Leo!
What's wrong? Did I do something?
You see Ella's eye looks very red and like she's been crying.
Aww.
Leo, I don't want to talk to you right now. Please go away.
Okay. I'm sorry to see that you're upset. You know you can always talk to me about anything.
Yeah, whatever, Leo. Please go away.
Okay. You should come down for tea, though, if you feel up to it. Mom and Dad are pretty concerned.
And at that moment, time stops.
I think Leo does have a moment of like, oh no, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to use this book in this situation. There's an ethical quandary, but it quickly goes away because he needs to help his sister. So he takes the book out.
Yeah, and as you open the book, a phrase appears.
Do you want to fix your sister's problem?
Yes.
Oh, that so makes me nervous.
And at that moment, time unfreezes. And when you look up, the door to Ella's room is wide open. And she's not there.
What? Just like in the blink of an eye, gone?
I mean, when you looked down at the book, the door was mostly closed. When you look up,
right,
it seems like the door is open and Ella's not there.
I kind of hustle down the stairs. I'm a little concerned
now. As you do that, I want you to roll struggle.
Oh boy. Didn't see this coming.
Using an evil book leads to bad things. Who would have thought?
No. That is a 8 minus 1. That's a 7.
Okay, so on a 7 to 9, you're going to trip as you nearly fall down the stairs in your haste. You do manage to catch yourself, and as you stand up straight, a surprising scene is in front of you. Ella is sitting in the living room with both of your parents, and they are laughing their heads off because someone said a very funny joke.
Oh, no.
And then your mom turns around. Oh, Leo, what are you doing? I told you not to run down the stairs.
I'm sorry, Mom. Just being clumsy as usual, you know. I'll be careful. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, come on, we're having tea. Please.
Okay. Yeah. He goes and sits down, sort of looking around at each of them, very concerned, but trying not to show it.
Your dad, who looks a little less tired than he did a few minutes ago, turns to you and says, Leo, you have to hear this one. Ella was just telling a hilarious story about her friend Hannah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Leo. Remember the one, you know, in the Great Hall when that, what's that boy's name from Slytherin? He dropped his plate and he fell over and he said that. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Like, it was hilarious. Like, half the school was laughing their heads off.
It's Michael, right? Is his name?
Michael? Who's Michael?
You changed so much of the timeline.
Really messed up the timeline
you
now.
You messed it up so much.
Oh.
Bad boy.
It's just... don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't... Okay, Leo. Want, that's... All right.
I don't remember. You want to tell me the story? What happened?
So much trouble.
Leo. What are you talking about? Are you okay? Is something wrong?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just having a weird day.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, actually, I'll be right back. I need to go do something. And he gets up and
Christmas.
Walks away.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I just need to go use the wizard bathroom.
Because it's different from the muggle bathroom.
Well, it is or it isn't. It's unclear.
We don't know how their sewer systems work. I think it just magics away.
Yeah.
I mean, the sewer system in Hogwarts was large enough for a basilisk to crawl through.
Yeah, that's true. So. They really did hand wave that one. Leo walks away down the hall to kind of get out of earshot of his family. He takes out that book and opens it and just kind of like, he sort of whisper shouts like, "What? What did you do? Stop it. Undo it. I didn't mean for this to happen. What happened? What did you do?"
"We fixed your sister's problem. What else would you like us to do?"
"We? Who's we?"
And now, a word from our wizard sponsors.
Wizard Screams, public entertainment or public menace? In the past year, have you or a loved one been mentally or physically injured by wizard screams? Did a loved one lose their soul to a Dementor's kiss due to negligence by wizard screams? I mean, the Dementors did escape due to bad management and they could have kissed anyone. Hi, I'm Larry of Larry's Carnival, and if you answered yes to either of those questions, you could be entitled to compensation. Join me, Larry, and the wizard lawyers of Johnson, Johnson & Greengrass LLC as we bring a class action lawsuit against Gerald McDonald of Wizard Screams, and we'll make him an...
Larry! Larry, what are you doing, Larry? I thought we had a truce.
Yeah, well, that was before I knew you were the one telling people to dismantle my carnival for a discount.
I would never. You don't have proof.
This recording isn't proof.
10% off if you bring us a stolen piece of equipment from Larry's carnival. That could be anyone.
Uh-huh. I think you'll listen to this part right here. It's very interesting.
Hello, it's me, Gerald McDonald of the critically acclaimed Shrieking Shacks. Oh, okay, you've got me there.
So interesting that it's going to send you to jail.
If you would like to join this lawsuit, please contact Johnson, Johnson at Greengrass LLC by owl with a detailed description of how Wizard Screams has harmed you and your loved ones. Do it now.
Hi, everybody. It's Kevin, your resident Potter nerd. Okay, so I know at this point you all think I'm addicted to Wizard Television. And sure, that is actually true. But I have to tell you, I have been binging the new season of Wizard Law and Order. So procedurals are great, but I just love the way that this show mixes the gritty crime drama in the first half with all those Wizengamot scenes in the second half. The stakes are always so low. I literally cannot get enough of it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Why Can't We Be Wizards? I want to, as always, give a huge shout out to all of our faithful listeners. Y'all are doing everything you can to share the show with all your friends, and we so greatly appreciate it. I know I talk about that literally every week, but seeing our audience grow the way that it has been so, so humbling. I want to thank all of you for continuing to tweet about the show at Why Not Wizards, as well as interacting with us on all the other social media platforms. Our Discord server is also a really fun place to talk with everyone on the show about Potter, pets, or whatever else is really on your mind. I have so far really been enjoying seeing everybody on there, so definitely go check it out if you haven't already and drop a hello. So we are starting to get towards the end of book two. I think after this episode, we have maybe four more before we move on. I don't think the request is out there on the internet yet, but pretty soon we will be reaching out to all of you to send us questions or shoutouts for the book two wrap-up episode. I think this time, in addition to questions that we will read out on the episode, we're also looking for folks to send in their questions in audio format. So if you'd be interested in recording yourself and having your question air live on the show, reach out to us and we will do everything we can to make that happen. As always, I want to thank Table Story for their awesome game system, Witchcraft and Wizardry. They are awesome. Please, please, please go check them out sometime. Okay, that's going to do it for me. Next episode will be up in 2 weeks on June 18th. And with that, why don't we head back to Hogwarts? Caleb and Freya, you walk into the Great Hall. And it's pretty sparsely populated. There's a few Hufflepuffs, a pair of Slytherins, and what looks like a group of four Gryffindors sitting at the Gryffindor table, their heads huddled together.
Like the four Gryffindors?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it is the Griffin Bros.
And Violet?
Griffin Bros.
Yeah, Violet's one of the Griffin Bros.
Do we know what Violet's last name is?
Beauregard.
Beauregard, yeah.
You're turning Violet.
Violet, no, we don't have her last name yet.
Her last name is Violet Lancashire.
I'm changing her description from very nice Gryffindor to just nice Gryffindor.
Wow. Oh, no.
Harsh.
Yeah. She's not very nice.
So what, you put her from a +2 to a +1?
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, but I haven't seen good things. Actions speak louder than words, Violet.
Yeah, so I think we're going to come into the Great Hall and see them. And Freya is going to take this piece of paper out. How are we going to get it close to enough to them where they don't think it's from us?
Oh, we're not going to do it here. We're going to follow them, find out where they go.
Oh, that's a better idea. She kind of like shoves it back in her pocket.
Let's go get some food and we'll just stake him out.
You slowly lower yourselves down at the Ravenclaw table and start having breakfast, lunch. I guess it's lunchtime at this point.
So we're just waiting for them to leave so that we can, I don't know, drop something, follow them?
Both.
Maybe I should show you how this spell works first.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about that while we watch them?
Yeah, so I actually was thinking really hard about what this spell would be called. It's Legilichartum. So I'm going to take a piece of paper out and cast that on the paper.
Whoa. What am I thinking right now?
Roll magic.
Well, I have to roll magic first. So that's an 8 plus 2. So that's a 10.
So on a 10 plus complete success, you create this crazy piece of paper.
Touch it.
Caleb does touch it.
And does it change color? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so when you touch it, let's say there are, I don't know, emotions are really simple, right? That's how mood rings work. So red is angry. Blue is sad. Let's just Google what mood rings do. That's interesting. Okay, yeah, no. So let's say black is stressed. Red is nervous. Orange is unsettled. Green is active. Turquoise is relaxed. Lovable is blue. Purple is romantic. And pink is happy.
Lovable is an emotion.
Right? That's what I was thinking.
I guess so.
That's how Caleb feels all
like
the time.
Like in love. Like in love. You never
loving.
Know.
So Caleb, you touch this piece of paper and it's going to work successfully. What color does it turn?
Active.
Okay, yeah. And so when you touch this piece of paper, it turns bright green.
Huh. I think this means you like sports.
We have the wings.
That tracks.
As you say that, the Griffin Bros get up and start to leave the Great Hall.
If only Food Feet could be trained to follow someone. Until then, we must away. Follow my lead.
Okay.
Based on the hilarious music, I assume you're doing sort of a think you're James Bond, but are actually more of a Johnny English type scenario.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Very, very precisely that.
Roll quick and quiet.
That is a 9 plus 1.
Okay, so on a 10 plus, you move quickly and go unnoticed. So just like Johnny English, you're actually surprisingly extremely successful at this. Is that how Johnny English works? I've watched it when I was 12. I don't know who it is. Johnny English is Mr. Bean.
Oh.
But he's like a spy.
Yeah.
I know who Mr. Bean is.
It depends. He gets caught sometimes.
Mr. Bean.
All right, so this is a Jacques Cousteau Pink Panther situation. Yeah, okay, so you're following these guys now, and they don't notice, and they seem to be heading towards the Gryffindor common room. What are you doing?
So maybe I can fold this into a paper airplane and, like, throw it at them?
We could drop it outside the Gryffindor common room, see if they pick it up.
I don't know where the Gryffindor common room is, do you?
No, but if we follow them, we'll find out.
I feel like we're going to follow them and then they're going to go in and then nothing else is going to happen.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Turn it into a plane and throw it at them.
Okay, why not? So I use my paper folding skills from last year and I fold this into a paper airplane.
That is a callback.
Yeah, those flowers.
Yeah.
You did learn all about that. I guess that's a transfiguration roll. So roll magic.
To fold paper?
That's what you did.
Origami is real magic.
I mean, if you're going to do the callback to season one, at least do the thing from season one.
Okay. I fold it into a paper airplane, and then I'm going to cast magic on it to turn it into a tiny little model airplane. Wait, no. That can't happen, because then the magic won't work anymore.
Are you sure? Does it have to be in paper form for the magic to work?
I don't know. I've never tried it on anything else.
Can't you turn anything into a mood ring? All right, let's just do it.
All right, I'm just going to fold it. I'm just going to fold the paper.
You get a paper cut.
Roll paper folding.
You say that.
Okay.
You say that.
So you fold the paper into a paper airplane. Now what? You throwing this thing?
Well, I have to cast magic on it first. So I cast Legilichardum on it. So that I have to roll for.
Oh, you didn't think to do a second piece of paper while you were sitting there waiting, you fools.
I know.
Oh, dang. Okay, yeah, so roll magic.
Okay. I rolled a 12 plus 2.
Okay, perfect success. You turn this thing into your weird magic paper.
Weird now, magic paper!
Super quick question. How does that work? You're holding the paper, you cast the spell. How does it not immediately do your color?
I think I missed. The paper only works once?
Yeah,
it's a one-time use paper.
The paper only works once.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Okay. Well, are you wearing dragonhide gloves, maybe?
That they're having. Throw it on one of their heads.
I did not think about this.
Why didn't you just, like, do it a lot of it? Or, like, what if it's confetti?
What if you just made a spell that lets us see their emotions, like, without them touching a piece of paper?
I don't know, guys.
You guys, as a group, we have very good plans.
I feel like Freyr is just, like, mentally breaking down in the hallway right now, holding a piece of paper half-folded, like, playing.
Because literally, no, because it only works once. So as soon as she casts magic on it, it changes color. And it changes to stressed. It changes to black. Aww, I thought that this would work.
What if you cast the spell on it as the paper is in the air?
I need a new piece of paper then.
You can't cast it on the same piece of paper?
You only brought two pieces of paper for this whole plan?
It was not a plan.
Stop, Freya was smart.
Oh, man.
I told you I unlocked the meticulous positive trait. She's not paying attention. Her head is not in the game.
Okay. I think they got away. They're gone.
Freya's just sitting in the hallway staring at this.
You still don't know where the Gryffindor common room is.
I'm sorry. I thought that this would work.
Oh, and as you yell that out, you hear from behind you, I know where the Gryffindor common room is.
Is it a Gryffindor?
When you turn, it is a girl that vaguely you know she's a Slytherin. She's got this kind of punk look to her. She's got fingerless gloves on. And she's got her hands on her hips. You guys are bad at sneaking.
Well, I was trying out a new spell.
Well, you were trying it out bad.
I'm really glad that while Leo is caught up in his emo drama stuff, you guys are taking up the mantle of the comic relief in the show.
Is it Vicky?
Sounds like Vicky.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Caleb.
I'm Freya.
Okay.
We're Ravenclaws.
Yeah, that's clear. I know, yeah.
We have the wings.
We're wearing Ravenclaw.
We have the wings.
We're wearing Ravenclaw clothes, Caleb.
Wait, you guys are wearing the uniforms on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Such nerds.
Caleb's got like two sets of robes. He doesn't have many other clothes.
Oh no, that makes sense.
Oh no.
And Freya probably didn't want to make him feel bad, so she wore them too.
Oh man, boy. That's some sad high school stuff. Okay, well, I'm Vicky. Now I don't think I want to help you. You guys are kind of weird.
Vicky, those Gryffindors have been trying to take us down. They're trying to ruin our friendships. And we don't know why. We've got to find out where they're coming from.
Yeah, they've been really mean to us.
I mean, sure, my sister sucks, but like...
Your sister?
Wait, your sister is Violet?
Yeah, we're twins. Literally, the whole school knows that.
Well, they're not us.
Twins.
And she rolls her eyes and says, "Ravenclaws."
We just want to be able to... They have a plan that involves, like, breaking up our friendships, and we don't want that to happen.
Well, why don't you just be nice to each other or something?
That's easier said than done.
I mean, they think that they've got some sort of job to stop us, and they're turning my brother against me. So, I don't think... It's so serious for them, this... Whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's their, like, crazy crusade thing.
Wait, do you know about it?
Well, I mean, they're clearly obsessed with making sure that everybody knows how great they are. And they're clearly very obsessed with making sure that, like, they're the heroes in the story. Haven't you ever read, like, anything at all?
I mean, yeah, I read a lot.
Mostly nonfiction.
Yeah, Ravenclaws. Okay. Yeah, you know, like in books, like in stories, they think they're like the heroes.
But they're definitely not the heroes. I mean, they're kind of like our antagonists.
If you think about it.
I guess so. That's one way to, I guess, frame it. But, like, I don't think that matters to them.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe this whole thing doesn't even matter.
It does matter. And anyone who thinks that it doesn't understand wizard rivals. They're going to try to betray us, get us, I don't know, killed or arrested, expelled for sure. And I won't stand for it.
Yeah, everything he said was probably wrong, but at least he's kind of getting into the meat of the problem, right? It's all just a story.
I don't know if life is a story.
Yeah, life is a podcast.
Well, if you think about it like a history, I guess that makes sense. Where there's a bunch of stuff that's happening, and you could put it sequentially in order based on time, but like, aren't there a lot of different stories all at the same time? We all have our own histories.
No, no, no. There's narratives, right? Like, there's people who want to fit everybody into these tight little boxes. And that's what they do. They just push you in a box. And that's the only thing you're allowed to be. Yeah, like the houses.
How is that a story?
Because it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. What matters is how people look at you and how people look at themselves. My sister and her dumb friends are just trying to make you feel like you're the certain kind of people that you are. And then you are those people. And then I'm nothing. Never mind. Look, just don't let it get to you. If you want to be friends with your friends, then just be friends with your friends.
Yeah. Maybe we should just be focused on making sure everyone's okay. Skylar doesn't get hit by more bludgers. And that Leo starts talking to us again. I kind of look over at Freya.
Freya rolls her eyes.
Instead of thinking about them, they're distracting us from what really matters.
I guess I can try and make amends with Leo.
Even if it wasn't a mistake, we all do bad things, or it's like what Vicky says. Everything's a story, right? I look over at Vicky.
I didn't say that. No, you're misunderstanding my premise.
And there's a story where you're fighting Leo all the time. And then there's another story where we're not fighting Leo and we're getting superpowers and we're inventing new spells together.
Oh, man. Caleb, that makes so much sense.
Does it?
Let's choose the story where we invent cool new spells and then we explode stuff.
Maybe not that last part.
It's behind us and we're walking away from it. That's the kind of story that I think we should write.
I seem to not be part of this anymore. I'm gonna leave now.
Yeah, it was nice getting to know you, Vicky.
All right.
Great talk.
You didn't even get the info from her that you needed.
She's walking away. She's gone.
Didn't get the info from her that we wanted, but we did get the info that we needed.
As the year progresses for our intrepid heroes, things look a little murky. Some relationships seem like they've been largely repaired. Allison and Skylar seem like they're doing much better. Others look a little, well, grim. Freya, you and Leo haven't really figured things out. But despite that, there have definitely been a few bright spots as time went on. In early March, the Ravenclaws flattened Hufflepuff 320-10 in the second match of the season and are now virtually tied at the top of the House Cup rankings with Gryffindor.
We have the wings!
Surprisingly, Leo, you looked, but you never...
No pool.
You didn't find the pool. But you also didn't find Michael, who almost seems to no longer exist.
Yeah.
Does anyone else remember Michael?
I probably have been going around asking.
Nobody.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe you're very upset. But one thing to note is that Ella is doing great. Best school year of her life.
Well, that's good. Yeah, Leo's focused on that detail, I think. He's conflicted, but he's like, well, it was for the best.
What?
Your conscience?
You just Thanosed some guy and you're like, it's fine.
I guess. Well, I mean, he's upset that that happened and he doesn't. He's very conflicted, right? He accomplished his goal and that makes him feel good because.
It doesn't sound like he is.
Now, towards the beginning of May, we find the group on a Tuesday afternoon walking into greenhouse number 2 for herbology class.
Allison is skipping because she loves herbology. It's her favorite class.
Ooh, I'm going to skip with you. I like skipping.
All right, we find like an empty potting bench together.
Can we hold hands while we skip?
We can link elbows.
Okay, yeah. And so as you guys all find your places, in walks tall, dark, handsome, strong chin, extremely muscular, none other than Professor Longbottom.
So dreamy.
Basically, 2/3 of the class have pretty much the same reaction.
You know, he beheaded a snake. It belonged to Voldemort.
I just really like his sweater. Just clings to his chest so nicely.
I mean, he's covered in dirt. I just don't get it.
That just makes him look even better.
Yeah, it's just like glitter.
No one likes me when I'm covered in dirt.
Hello, class. Please take out your dragonhide gloves. We're going to be working on repotting some leaping toadstools today. So make sure that you've got a raised bed all set up with soil. You're gonna need to catch them and then replant them in these large raised beds. Make sure you get the soil nice and compact. Those little guys really like to wriggle their way out, and we wouldn't want them jumping into the venomous tentacula in the back of the room. Because they will be ripped to shreds.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
I raised my hand.
Yes, Skylar.
Professor, do you have any tips on how to catch them if they're all loose?
I like to sort of just visualize myself succeeding, and then I just kind of grab them.
Skylar's just nodding. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's actually something I discuss in my memoir. Neville Longbottom and the story of the boy who became a man.
He had to do a Neville Longbottom and the...
Allison is like nodding profusely, having already read this memoir.
Of course.
All right, class, why don't we go ahead and get started?
I put my gloves on.
So as you walk into Greenhouse 3, this room is a little bit of a mess because at the moment... Though there's, you know, lots of different plants all over the room set up, a bunch of 2-foot-tall toadstools are bouncing all over the place, on the floor, around the walls, everywhere.
Okay, do you want to get the toadstool or the dirt?
I think we're going to need to double-team these toadstools, like tackle them to the ground.
What color are these toadstools?
They are sort of gray stems with big red tops. That have white polka dots.
All right, let's corner this one. That one looks pretty small. Let's corner that one.
All right, Allison kind of tries to use her legs to corner the 2-foot mushroom.
Yeah, Skylar like goes in for like a bear hug.
Okay, why don't you show courage?
Oh, wow. I was expecting that to be a struggle.
10.
You look fear in the eye and do not break. Leaning forward, you... tackle this mushroom to the ground.
Oh, yeah. I know my mushrooms. I like, lift it up in my arms and start heading towards the pots. And I say, you get the dirt!
Allison's gonna grab the dirt and a shovel and, like, dig a hole to shove the mushroom in.
Why don't you roll convince?
What am I...
I need you to convince this mushroom... to get in the ground and stay there.
Alrighty.
Make sure you pack it nice and tight, like Professor Neville said. I try to tuck to my toadstool in a calming manner.
And that is a 10 minus 1, so that's a 9.
Okay, so on a 7 to 9, choose one. They need proof. They go along with it for now. And they do it but are now terrified of you.
I am going to say they go along with it for now. That seems like what the mushroom would pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so you pack the dirt, but not quite as tightly as you probably should have. And the mushroom nestles into the ground, but It could probably escape if it wanted to. It's humoring you.
Can I notice that it's one of my traits is observant? Can I observe that it needs to be packed a little more?
Why don't you notice something?
I think I won't.
Normally I partner with Leo, but maybe Leo and Freya should be partnered together. I'll switch over to Dakota.
Leo, if he's Freya available. Freya refuses.
That would not happen organically. If you want that to happen, you're going to have to make it happen.
Caleb is just going to look for Dakota to try to jump in to that partnership.
Oh, Dakota is 100% on board with this because Dakota also wants this friendship to be mended. And Dakota's like, oh yeah, Caleb, I'll absolutely be your partner. Come on, let's go. And immediately just like full body tackles one of the mushrooms.
Get it, Dakota.
He would.
Best partner.
I look at Leo and then I look away. I don't need a partner. I can totally do this by myself. And I go to try and grab one that's in the air.
So Freya, why don't you roll show courage?
I rolled 2 ones.
Okay, on a 6 or below, the situation feels beyond you. You cower in fear, running from the fight.
I guess I run out of the greenhouse. I'm just like, oh God, it was so gross. It touched me.
So you slam the door of the greenhouse open and try to run out. And Neville is standing right there, and you run into his chiseled pecs.
Oh, gosh.
And yeah, like clothesline, like you fall to the ground, and now you're on your back. Freya, what's going on?
Professor Longbottom, I tried to grab one, and it hit me in the face, and it touched me, and it was really, really gross.
Okay, well, did your partner try to help you, or?
I don't have a partner. I was just doing it by myself, sir.
Well, that's not very safe. We always talk about making sure we stay in pairs, right? And he points to a sign behind him that says, you must always do herbology in pairs.
Buddy system, yeah.
I guess nobody else wanted to be my partner, so...
Okay, well, I think Leo is standing there by himself. Why don't you work with him?
I guess. Sure. Okay.
Remember, just focus on what you want, and surely you'll succeed.
Worked for him.
All right. Yeah. And she kind of, like, gets off the ground and, like, dusts the dirt off of her and walks back into the greenhouse. All right, Leo, let's do this.
Are you okay?
Yeah, why do you care?
I mean, I do care.
Why don't you try this time and I'll back you up?
Oh boy. Doing a whole Leo style, very awkward and clumsy grab and tackle.
Roll show courage.
That is a 7.
On a 7 to 9, you stand strong but are still scared of this terror. Choose one. You're absolutely terrified and everyone knows it, but at least you're still here.
Yep.
You don't back down, but it's hard to concentrate. Or you let your friends down.
I think I don't back down, but it's hard to concentrate.
Yeah. Okay. So you grab the mushroom as it tries to bounce and you hold it down for just a second. And then it squirts out of your grasp and smacks Freya straight in the face.
Oh boy.
God.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
It's fine. Let's just I don't know, try and get one together.
Yeah. Okay. On 3?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Ooh, I got a 4 this time.
I got an 11 minus 1 for a 10.
Good thing we're helping
each other. Okay, so on a 10 plus, you look fear in the eye and do not break, Freya. So you reach forward and tackle this thing. Leo, you fail. On a 6 or below, the situation feels beyond you, and you cower in fear, running from the fight.
Some terrifying mushrooms, huh? If we were kind of jumping at it together, I'm imagining I missed and just like hit the ground and got upset and sort of walked away.
Are you kidding me? Really? And she's like struggling to hold on to this thing. Can you just go get the dirt, please?
Yeah, I'll go get the dirt. Leo walks away.
So Leo, as you walk forward, time freezes.
Oh no. I take out the book.
It spells out,
"Tickle it just at the base."
Are you gonna make someone else disappear if I tickle this mushroom?
That's such a weird sentence.
This is a weird podcast, you guys.
Time resumes.
Okay. Yeah, I bring back the dirt, and I think I tell Freya, hey, try tickling it right at the base.
How do you know that?
I just have a feeling.
Right. Freya does it.
Sus.
And when you do that, this struggling mushroom lets out a little titter. And it falls limp in your hands.
All right. I go to put it in the pot.
Yeah, you don't even need to roll convince on that one. You can just put it in there and pack the dirt tight.
Leo, you used that book again, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
You said you were going to stop.
I've got a lot going on. It's complicated, Freya.
It's really not. Why don't you just stop using it?
You don't understand.
Tell me what I don't understand.
Not now.
Why not?
Because it's complicated, Freya.
As you say that, Skylar and Allison, you started to try to pack a second one of these away, and the first one spurts out of the dirt, and dirt goes flying everywhere, and now both of you are completely covered in dirt.
Allison just laughs in defeat.
I laugh along with you. I'm just happy that we're getting along again.
Allison's just resigned to the fate and being like, "Welp, this is life, covered in dirt."
I'm going to rub my hands together and crack my knuckles because I saw Dakota tackle that and that was inspiring. I'm going to also try to tackle this next one.
Okay.
And I also am choosing one of the smaller sized ones.
Yeah, so I think this time it is just a straight up and down struggle roll because Dakota was using brute force.
Do you get any bonuses?
7.
But because of your magic hands?
Ooh. Could I use my hands to like lasso it? My fingers to like strap it around?
I'm going to say that gives you +1.
8.
Because that's awesome. Okay, so it doesn't change the roll. So, yeah, mixed success. Your lasso hands just kind of, like, curl around this thing, but it's starting to pull away from you.
Allison's gonna, like, jump on it, like, WWE style.
Quick!
Okay, yeah, you should also roll struggle.
All right, that's a 6.
Okay, so failure. You try to jump on to grab the mushroom, and instead you act just head first, knock your head against Skylar's head, and both of you fall to the ground. The mushroom spurts out and goes and actually jumps right into Leo, pushing him against Freya.
Sorry.
Get off of me.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Yeah, and so at that, Professor Longbottom walks in and sees the chaos in this room and says, "Well, did everyone try their hardest?"
Yes.
Okay. Outstanding all around. Class dismissed.
All you gotta do is try in Neville's class.
That night, as all of you are heading into the Ravenclaw common room, things don't really seem that much better between Freya and Leo. Are you guys even walking together?
No.
No.
I'm avoiding him.
As you're both separately doing homework in the common room that night, Emmanuel walks up to Freya and he says, "Well, howdy, Freya. Can't help but notice you're looking a little glum there."
"Hi, Emmanuel. I mean, I don't know how happy I can be doing potions homework."
"Well, I mean, it's kind of like art class, so it can't be all bad."
Yeah, I just don't understand what he wants me to draw for this potion. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it never makes any sense. I get terrible grades in potions class. I didn't even pass my IOWL. I don't even take potions anymore. But no, but anyway, I'm mostly, hey, here. And he offers you a big stuffed teddy bear that's got a heart.
Emmanuel with the teddy bears.
On its tummy. And he says, you seem a little down lately. And I know you and your buddy over there have been fighting lately. And just want to know anything I can do to help you out.
I don't know, Emmanuel. I really just want Leo to apologize to me and, I don't know, mean it.
You know, maybe it would be good if you try to talk it out a little bit.
He did say he wanted to talk to me.
Good, good, good. Because I've got a whole system here. Hey, Allison, Skylar.
Allison pokes her head out.
Caleb, you come over too. Why don't you all come over here for a minute?
Allison's super skeptical.
This homework isn't going to do itself, but
yeah, no, that's fine. You
Emmanuel, someone's been burning stuff into this table.
Okay.
Oh man, that was totally Leo.
That's fine. That seems like probably not a huge deal. Probably not great, but I don't know. They probably repair the furniture here. It's magic, so you know.
Okay.
It wasn't you. You're right. You didn't burn. You didn't do it. Did you do it?
No, I was.
Now I'm suspicious that it was you.
Oh no, I was just bringing you your attention to it. I don't want our common room looking messy.
It was probably Leo.
It sounds like
I look at Leo.
It really does sound like it was you, Skylar, based on your response. So, I have this sort of conflict resolution handbook that they give all the prefects.
Oh boy.
And, is it in the shape of a burger? I've seen that one.
No, it's a binder, and he takes out a binder. Yeah, no, I've been thinking about y'all's problem, and I think you just need to kind of spend a little bit of time in somebody else's shoes and talk it out.
I'm confused because I don't have a problem.
Yeah, but your friend. Okay, Skylar. He takes you aside. He takes Skylar aside for a minute, and he says, "Look. I'm just trying my best here. Like, can you please help me help your friends?"
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. He comes back over. Yeah. No. So we're just, we're going to do a little exercise. Why don't y'all take a seat? We're going to play a little game.
After Emmanuel, took me aside, I'm like, I will do everything you need me to do. I sit down crisscross applesauce.
You're a prefect. I'll play a game.
He goes around the circle as you all sit down. Handing out sheets of paper. And on this sheet of paper is what looks like a grid with some empty spots for basically you to write something. And he hands everyone a quill. And he puts some dice in the middle of the table.
Oh, man.
And he says, all right, now we're gonna play a little game. It's called the Dr. Professor Wizard Magical Role-playing experience.
Go on.
Here's how it's gonna go. You're all gonna make up a fictional hero in the Dr. Professor Wizard sort of universe of heroic adventures.
I've seen all the shows.
We're going to play. Yeah, well, I mean, if you could try to be at least a little creative on this one, that's fine. If you want to play,
right? The little plastic thing with the arms.
I mean, it's a whole franchise.
Dr. Professor Wizard.
Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to create a sort of fictional character, and you're going to pretend to be that person. And the idea is that hopefully it can spark some innovative and interactive conversations between all of us so we can kind of air out all of our dirty laundry.
All right. I guess.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
All right. Show us how it works.
Okay, here, take these dice.